In your Bible, please, Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. This morning we arrive at verse 18. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" This issue of fasting is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 9 and again in Luke chapter 5. With the help of those companion gospels, we understand that the disciples of John and the Pharisees fasting, the disciples of John, Matthew 9:14 tells us, ask this question: why is it that we and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. What you see is moving in perfect accord to the plan with a specific purpose. The master plan of Messiah is moving. It is not the time," Jesus says, concerning the master plan of Messiah, to be fasting. It's the time to feast. There is a time coming when there will be fasting. That is, he is taking this occasion of the fasting of the disciples of John and the Pharisees and their question about his followers to wonder why they weren't exhibiting religious acceptance. We're religious. We fast because things are so bad. We need to be trusting God. No. We need to be trusting God as He is unfolding His master plan of Messiah. And right now, it's not a time for fasting. It's a time for feasting. That time will come. And then he, as he did throughout his public ministry, used a parable. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else a new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put in to new wineskins. You do not try to change what is working in perfect accord with its purpose. Things are designed by God to be working in accordance with His purpose. He used parables oft times to teach in a way that was a mystery. There were many mysteries in the parables. We have seen some of them earlier in our studies. But here, you don't try to alter. You don't try to change what is in fact functioning in the way it's designed to function, accomplishing the purpose for which it was made. The master plan of Messiah is moving. Perfectly to perform the purpose for which the Messiah came. Mark emphasizes that Jesus came as the servant of God. He did not come to be served. He came to serve. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was not always obvious. Mysteries. But the plan is moving in perfect accord with its purpose. Come on over to Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, the plan of Messiah has moved from the hills of Galilee outside of Jerusalem in the Jordanian Valley. It has moved to the hill outside of Jerusalem to a place of the skull, Golgotha, where the Anointed One of God was crucified. And then from there, his body taken and entombed in a garden. But he didn't stay there. He has come forth alive. He has met with his disciples for 40 days on this earth, showing himself with many again signs and wonders as he did during his public ministry. But he's taken up back to heaven. And now, what is happening in God's creation is the unfolding of the master plan of Messiah as those who have believed on him are taking the message of redemption to Jews and ultimately to Gentiles in perfect accord with God's plan of redemption. Verse 22 of Acts 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom you know, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. John concludes his gospel, unique of the four gospels, with these words. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The master plan of Messiah is moving in perfect accord with its purpose to bring redemption, to bring a people to the eternal praise of God. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Before the foundation of the world, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, in the eternal counsel of God, formulated a plan And that plan would be that the Son would be the promised anointed of God who would come to seek and to save that which was lost. God's world that rebelled against Him. Reconciled to Him through the person and performance of the Son, formulated before the foundation of the world. Romans chapter 1, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. They've been accusing him of avoiding coming to Rome for fear. He reminds them, I'm not afraid because I want to get there and proclaim the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, the good news. Paul writes after his first missionary journey, letter to the churches of Galatia, and he says something very interesting there about Abraham. He said, God proclaimed the good news, the gospel, to Abraham. Now, Abraham, thousands of years before the Christ. How was that done? It was done in accordance with God's perfect plan. God promised Abraham that he would be the one that would bring forth a people to the praise of his name. A people that God would set apart uniquely unto himself. Give them a place. They would be a people peculiar, protected, prosperous. But also through Abraham would come a posterity. Through him, all peoples would be blessed. The Messiah, the Christ. The good news to Abraham before Christ even entered physically into his creation. And all of the prophets proclaim that same program, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by means of the resurrection from the dead. On over to Galatians. I mentioned Galatians 3, but go to Galatians chapter 4. This plan formulated before the foundation of the world would be enacted, acted out, brought forth in time and space. Chapter 4 of Galatians. I'm reading verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, nothing is happening apart from God's plan of redemption. Nothing. We sang earlier today about what it means to have a peace, knowing that He is performing in our behalf. No matter what it looks like in this world, God is in control. The plan of redemption is being acted out in perfect time. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to purchase, to ransom those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, the full placement, being placed into the family of God. Sinners, who in the natural man rebels against God, is alienated against God, is deserving of God's judgment, placed as adult sons with all the privileges of belonging to Him. Also with the responsibilities of living for Him. To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, the full placement. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The master plan of Messiah is moving in perfect accord with His will, accomplishing His purpose, a people to His eternal praise that He has provided everything for here and ultimately forever. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I have shared with you on more than one occasion the single most significant statement in all of the Scriptures is that statement in Christ Jesus. Single most significant statement in all of the Scriptures. For in Christ Jesus, God has given us all things. He's withheld nothing. Out from among the Godhead, the riches of His glory He has provided for us now and throughout eternity. All that we need. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to Him, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. The master plan of Messiah is moving. It is moving in perfect accord with God's will, and its purpose is to bring forth a people to the eternal praise of God. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. The mystery of His will is that God, in mercy and love and grace, would call out a people from among the Jews and the Gentiles, a people unto Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Nothing's happening by chance or circumstance. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The master plan of Messiah. Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees' disciples fast, and your disciples don't, because it's not the time for fasting. It's the time for feasting. The master plan of Messiah is moving in perfect accord with God's will. The plan of redemption will bring forth the purpose for which it was put in place before the foundation of the world, a people to the eternal praise of God. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion, the Jews being dispersed out from Jerusalem, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, chosen, select ones, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is the total work of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He formulated the plan. He is now unfolding the plan, calling out a people unto himself. A people in whom he now personally resides in by his Holy Spirit as a empowerment to be to the praise of his glory, as an empowerment to perform all that God wants us to do while we are here, but also a guarantee that we have a place prepared for us in heaven. An inheritance awaiting. Not a hope so. Perfect. Because it's part of the plan which he has put in place to his eternal praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Going over to the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Remember earlier? Glory. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. It's all moving in accordance with God's plan to a glorious climax. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. God's plan involves his whole creation, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The whole creation is under the curse of sin, to the glorious liberty, set free, redeemed. The glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans with labor pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Is there anyone here and in the hearing of my voice that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, who cannot identify with as long as we are in these bodies? We groan. We groan with the anticipation of a new body. The adoption of the redemption of our body. 1 Corinthians, familiar verses, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, Paul establishes the church at Corinth in the opening verses of 1 Corinthians, the good news of Christ, and how there is those who would fabricate the story that there's no resurrection. That's the core of the good news of God. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried the third day. He rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. There were those who were saying, there's no resurrection. At verse 20, he establishes the fact of the resurrection. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And now down at verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? The fact of the resurrection? Now the form of the resurrection. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but a mere grain, perhaps of wheat, grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed, to its own. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, heavenly. There are terrestrial bodies, earthly. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Even within the celestial, there are differences. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and even the stars differ one from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have been born, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. John says, we're the children of God. That's a fact. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Redemption of the body. Transformed, altogether different from now. No groanings. Paul goes on, our time is gone this morning, to remind us that all things are working together for good to them who love God, to those who are His called according to His purpose. His purpose. What's His purpose? To bring forth a people to the eternal praise of His name. Until then, don't try to change what is happening in your life that God is using to His eternal praise. Rather, to evade the sufferings. Embrace what Christ is doing for you. It's not by mistake. It's by plan. Knowing that there's an ultimate glory that far surpasses anything now which we are experiencing in this body. It is all in accordance with this master plan of redemption. And we, by the grace of God, are part of that plan. To His eternal praise. Father, thank You for these moments together. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, our Savior, who has provided for us according to His riches and glory, all that we need in Him here and there. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.